Doing a song from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
And welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marcia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. It has now been more than a month and a half since the Zionist regime has started its Holocaust in the concentration camp of Gaza. With over 12,000 people killed and just about half of them children, the regime is in the process of destroying itself as people around the world are waking up to the reality of its illegality. But not only is the world waking up to the Zionists, but to those who support them. As the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, has said and has reiterated that the genocide in Gaza has blown the lid off of the reality of not only this racist regime, but the support of racism by Western countries. Stay with us as we look at this and a lot more on this Spotlight. I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Out of Houston, Texas, human rights activist Mohsen Naqvi. And out of Bristow, historian and investigative journalist Tony Gosling. Well, thank you both for being with me. Let me start this off in Houston. Mohsen, would you say the bottom line of the situation in Gaza, it's about race. It's about that the Zionists think that they are better than everyone else.
Hi, good afternoon. The Zionists, innately, the concept of Zionists and the concept of them thinking that they have to have a separate homeland is obviously in contradiction with the Jewish belief of the Jews being in exile and that they will only find their homeland after the return of the Messiah. There's this other concept of tikkun olam, meaning repairing the world. And it's innately found in Judaism, but I think the Zionists have really misinterpreted or have used this concept of reparation of the world and being the chosen ones to really sell the idea of a separate homeland of an Israeli state. And I think the way they justify the atrocities that they commit throughout the world, especially on the Palestinians, and that may be Palestinian Muslims or even Palestinian Christians, is through this idea that the Zionists are the chosen ones, and it is their own it is the responsibility of the Zionists to repair this world. I think it's a gross misinterpretation of the Jewish faith, but it is definitely used by the Zionist ideology to justify their actions to their own people. But we see that within the Zionist regime, there are many dissenting voices who disagree with this notion.
Right. Well, Tony, I want to talk about the hypocrisy of what we're seeing with this genocide in general, the Western regimes, the way that they reacted to Russia and the war in Ukraine. And when we compare it to the reaction to the Israeli onslaught on Gaza, do you see racism playing any part in this? Or just give me your overall perspective in comparing the two and how it's been handled.
Well, I mean, it is extraordinary here in Britain to see our leaders so completely out of tune with the population who've been turning up in their hundreds of thousands on the streets to support those in Palestine. And actually, I think this week we saw one of the most incredible speeches by President Erdogan, where he's saying that there is absolutely no excuse to treat civilians in the way that Israelis are treating the Palestinians, and that this is one of the worst, and I would agree with him, one of the worst and most obvious cases of genocide in the history of civilization, because we're living in the modern world. There's no excuses for getting things wrong and making mistakes. Look, the point is that there's almost a religious aspect to the way that the Western leaders like Biden and Sunak have been supporting and following and supplying arms to the Israeli genocide. And that's, I think, one of the most important aspects to understand why it is that they are so hell-bent on helping this genocide. I don't think it's necessarily motivated by racism, but certainly by some sort of religious aim. I mean, look at the psychopathic nature of what the Israelis have been saying over the last few weeks. They're talking about, basically they've been accusing everyone else, mostly the Palestinians, of committing the crimes that they're committing. So they are behaving, the Israelis, like a kind of, not a chosen people, but a master race, like the Nazis, saying effectively that anybody else's life is worth nothing, or they are likening the Palestinians to animals. And so they are the ones behaving like Nazis, not those that they are accusing. They're accusing the British people in the Palestinian marches of...
But at the same time, Tony, sorry to jump in here. It is true. We know about unbelievable comments by this regime. But if we look at the way, whether we're talking about the UK, the US, France, Germany, how they have responded, it's been totally different from the way they responded with, when we look at, again, with the Russian-Ukraine situation, you're talking about a world of difference. I mean, if we look at statistically, we're talking about 6 weeks, over 12,000 people, but still not even close to the reaction that we saw coming out of these Western regimes, even the first month after Russia invaded Ukraine. Your thoughts on why there's such a difference?
Well, look, the difference is this is a war that we support, the Ukraine side. I mean, if you look at the actual barbarism involved by the Russian invasion of Ukraine, you're seeing the same number of civilian casualties over nearly 2 years as we have just in a few weeks in Gaza. So there is really no excuse to be sending soldiers down the streets shooting teenagers in the head for no reason. Innocent people being shot in the head by soldiers. This is not the way the Russians have been conducting things. But I think there's a much wider plan. And as I say, we've got such incredible hypocrisy by the Israelis. They seem to think that they can simply get away with this because of their influence within the Western press. So they're trying to use TV news lies in order to get away with this genocide. I'm afraid we're living in the internet age now, and people all around the world, actually, if they bother to check, can see exactly what the Israelis are up to.
Okay, well, Mohsen, on the one side, I've talked about these Western regimes. If we look, though, at the Islamic countries. Now, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, has said that Islamic countries must cut ties with Israel. Any of them that have ties definitely should cut ties. And we see that some of these countries are still either giving access to airspace, giving gas, helping the Israeli regime. I want to talk about that side of things and the importance of at least these Muslim countries in not supporting the regime in any way.
Absolutely. So as Imam Khamenei has pointed out, that it is essential that all Muslim countries boycott the Zionist regime. And when he says boycott, as you mentioned, it does mean that airspace of Muslim countries should not, as a matter of principle, be used to bomb innocent Palestinians. If that airspace is not used, and if that support is not given to the Zionist regime in the region of West Asia, there is no way for the Zionist regime or the U.S. empire to have any kind of diplomatic or military influence in this region. To give you a small example, why is the Rafah crossing still closed? Why aren't innocent Palestinians being allowed to be treated? Why isn't Egypt opening its borders? Why is it that in the OIC summit, nothing conclusive came out? Why is it that we only saw Iraq, Iran, and Syria giving out statements, cohesive statements, against the Zionist regime? Why do we see Yemen as a country fully involved in this conflict and now attacking the Zionist regime with their missiles. Where is Saudi Arabia and where is the UAE? These countries, it's high time that they play a constructive role in this conflict. They have the resources, they have the power. Or they don't have the power because their kingdoms are being supported or are highly influenced by the U.S. empire. So it is but a natural understanding that those countries that call themselves Muslims, it is but natural for them to speak up against the Zionist regime, to act against the Zionist regime, if they consider themselves as Muslim governments.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Tony, your thoughts on that, because we're seeing with a lot of these Muslim countries, sometimes some of them are speaking well in condemning the Israelis, but at the same time still supporting the Israeli regime. Because, I mean, if we look at the situation and who a lot of these leaders are and who put them in place, I think that it's understandable why they are acting perhaps in the way they are. But I also want to look at the mass movement that we're seeing in a lot of countries and the possible effect that that could also have on these Muslim leaders who are basically supporting the regime in one way or another.
Well, that's two questions. One is on the religious aspects. Let's have a look at China, for example, which is a big supporter of Palestine. Obviously, it's a long, long way away, but it's a superpower with a lot of clout. Now, they're not Muslims. So I think if you're looking at the mass movements on the streets, you won't see so much in China because the Chinese authorities don't like that. But you're seeing lots right across the West. I think there is an attempt, Marcia, to frame this as a Jewish versus Islam battle. Actually, I think it's nothing of the sort, because Netanyahu is certainly not one of God's chosen people. He's not acting in any way along the lines of the Ten Commandments that Moses has given to his people. He's just ignoring them. And so what you're seeing, I think, is an attempt to weaponize Judaism and to start a religious war. So I think we've got to be quite careful here in framing it as a religious conflict, because this will tend to turn people of different faiths onto different sides. Actually, certainly here in Britain, people of all faiths have been out on these marches, including Jews, Christians and Muslims on the streets of London, all coming together to oppose what is essentially an anti-Abrahamic faith war that the Greater Israel bloc has been launching against Gaza, and in such a horrific fashion that I don't think anybody with any common sense would ever interpret the Israeli government as having anything to do whatsoever with God. In fact, possibly the other side.
Right.
From they are actually, what they're doing is evil. It's not mistaken. It's not some sort of error that they've made. It is the most definitely deliberate killing of civilians, which can only be described as evil, nothing to do whatever with God.
Right, indeed. Well, Mohsen, we talked about as far as some of these Muslim countries and actually not doing what they're saying. But I want to look at another country. I want to look at Yemen. Because on the one hand, it's a country perhaps with not a lot. I mean, compared to if we're looking at some of the Persian Gulf countries and others. But at the same time, extremely dedicated. And we have reports I'm sure that you've heard that they actually got an Israeli ship in the Red Sea, and it's in response to the massacre of the Palestinians in Gaza. I want to talk about that side of things. First of all, with their potential in being able to do this, and also their dedication in supporting their Arab and Muslim brothers here.
Absolutely. I mean, what Yemen is doing is absolutely unprecedented. The more we praise them, it's less. And Sayyid Nasrallah also mentioned in his speech, he differentiated Hezbollah, the Hashd al-Shaabi, as being separate entities from the government. They don't really represent the government as such. Whereas Yemen, the Ansarullah, the Houthis, they are part of the government. The actions that the Yemenis are taking are government actions. So it has more repercussions. And keeping those repercussions in mind, we need to understand that Yemen has been under, it was in war with Saudi Arabia and was heavily under the bombardment of the Saudis. Yet after that war has ended, thanks to the Islamic Republic, we see them immediately engage in this conflict. Diplomatically, it doesn't make sense. Technically, if you think about it, the only justification that we can have of Yemen really physically involving themselves in this conflict by saying that they will, by giving out a statement and saying that they will target all ships owned and operated by Israeli companies. No one else is doing this. It is because this is a government that makes decisions based on genuine principles. They genuinely stand with the Palestinians. And we saw that even when Yemen was under heavy bombardment, they never refrained from supporting the Palestinians. From day one, we have seen Yemen involving themselves in this conflict physically. And so it is something that really countries like Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Qatar, Kuwait, they really need to understand that the times have changed. The times when kingdoms who were acting as U.S. puppets in the region, that's not the future of West Asia. There's a huge shift that we see. And the narrative and the stances that countries like Yemen, Iran, Iraq, Syria are taking is the future of this region of West Asia, where we want to see Islamic countries, Muslims, Arabs, be sovereign and independent without the influence of British colonialism or U.S. imperialism.
Well, Tony, we've seen what the Israeli regime has done in Gaza and basically targeted kids and just civilians in general. And now, militarily, from a military perspective, it's definitely not been a success. I want to talk about, or we're going to end the show with this comment of yours, in looking at the Israeli regime and how this situation in Gaza will actually has weakened it. I want your perspective in general. Weakened it, and has it weakened it to a point of that it perhaps cannot recover from? Your thoughts in general.
Well, look at the irony, Marcia. The irony is incredible. The Israeli government is accusing Hamas of trying to destroy Israel. The one entity that is doing its best to destroy Israel is actually the Israeli government. They are the most likely organization on this planet to bring about an end to the Zionist state is the Israeli government itself, because the way they're acting is actually encouraging so much opposition in those neighboring states. They are also accusing Hamas of killing hostages. Actually, it's them that's killing hostages. So we're dealing with basically a bunch of psychopaths that are trying their best to create even a wider war. That is to drag in the Americans and the Russians, to maybe drag in even the Chinese, in order to keep Benjamin Netanyahu, the crime minister, out of jail. And to be fair, the Israeli public have been making a big fuss and protesting about this ever all this year, saying this guy is turning into a dictator. The only thing is that the rest of the world have to act, I think, somehow to help the Israeli population to put their maniac prime minister in jail.
Where is this going? Tony, let me just jump in here. I don't have much time, but is this just, because this is very important, is this just a Netanyahu framing of this? Is it just Netanyahu that is behind this? I mean, when we see this entire Israeli regime and what it's doing, it's not just one man. It is not just one man that is doing, but go ahead.
There are other voices in the Knesset, but of course what's happened is Netanyahu has brought all of the far right around him now to defend him. So I think it would send a very strong message to the rest of the Israeli politicians if justice was done with Netanyahu. Ultimately, though, I think it's in the balance as to whether this war will extend, and I think it's very good to see many of these Arab states keeping out of this, knowing that the Israelis are trying to set a trap for them because they actually want a wider war. They want to drag the United States in here.
All right. And on that note, I thank both of you being with me. Mohsen Naqvi, human rights activist out of Houston, Texas. Tony Gosling, historian and investigative journalist out of Bristol. And as always, we appreciate you being with us on Another Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing off myself and all the crew right here in Tehran. Hope to see you right here next time.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. In this edition of the program, we'll have a look at the verses of chapter Nur, the 24th chapter of the Holy Quran, and different commentary points of these verses. Brothers and sisters, let's listen to the 44th verse of chapter Nur.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يقلب الله الليل والنهار إن في ذلك لعبرة لأولي الأبصار
Allah alternates the night and the day. Indeed, in that is a lesson for those who have vision.
So this verse, dear listeners, talks about the shift and change of night and day. And it says that this shift and change is not accidental. It is based on an exact system. A person of insight can only learn lessons from all times and all places. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِأُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ
Only those who have sight and insight will take lessons. The phenomena of the universe that was completely mentioned in the previous episode, in the previous verse, provides us lessons that we do ponder them. And in this noble verse, one of the signs of creation and Allah's grandeur, which is the creation of day and night, is mentioned. So the verse says, يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ Allah alternates the night and the day. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَعِبْرَةً لِأُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ Verily there is a lesson in this for those with sight. Commenting this holy verse, there are stated different opinions about how this revolution is. Some consider it as the coming and going of day and night. Days come and make the night invisible and vice versa. So some believe that this is the meaning of يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. Some others say that it means shortening of one of them and prolonging of the other one, which happens gradually, and the formation of the seasons depend on it. This is the kind of يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ that this verse discusses. And finally, some others say that it refers to the changes such as warmness, such as coldness, and other events that happen during the day and night. These are all the possible explanations that are seen in the commentaries.
We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
وتمثل القرآن في أخلاقه وفعاله فيه الفؤاد تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hausa Seminary of Qom.
So, dear listeners, as we said, there are three possible explanations about يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ. Allah alternates the night and the day. Some believe that it is the coming and going of the day and night, as simple as that. Some others believe that it is the shortening of one of them and prolonging the other one, as a result of which the change of seasons happen. And finally, some believe that this verse is referring to the qalb and conversion of warmness and coldness and the other events. Whatever it is, it must be mentioned that these commentaries are not in conflict with one another. It is possible that all of them are included in the Quranic phrase يُقَلِّبُ اللَّهُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ Allah يُقَلِّبُ alternates days and nights. And undoubtedly, as it is scientifically proven, both coming and going of day and night and gradual changes of them are vitally important for man, and it is a lesson for those with sight. constant shining of sun increases temperature of the air, bums living creatures, and mentally wearies man. But when the darkness of night comes after, this shining ends, and this modifies it totally. The gradual changes of day and night, which is the factor of formation of four seasons, play an important role in the growth of plants, the life of all living creatures, the descending of rain, the storing water in the ground. These are all dependent on this very blessing that Almighty Allah discusses. So up to now, the Almighty Allah has discussed many blessings that only those with insight can understand and take lessons from. Thank you for staying with us. We ask the Almighty Allah to set us among the guided ones and the people of the straight path. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parstoday.ir. Until the next program, take care.
Things always work for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Another pro-Palestinian demonstration has taken place in the Yemeni capital Sana'a in solidarity with Palestinians and their resilience in the face of the Israeli aggression. Protesters also expressed support for the Yemeni government's decision to continue targeting Israel with drones and ballistic missiles. They stressed that this is a battle between good versus evil.
This is a battle against the heads and masterminds of disbelief, at the head of which is America and Israel, the great Satan and the cancer in the body of the Muslim world. By the will of Allah, victory is near.
14 nations wages strikes against us and all fail to deter us as we continue to fight today. We do not fear them as long as Allah is with us. We tell them that no matter how much you plot, Allah will turn their plots against them.
Last week, the Yemeni army confirmed they are able to target Israeli ships in the Red Sea and any other location. The army also stated they will target Israeli ships heading toward occupied Palestine or any other country. The Ansarullah military says its moves against Israel are part of efforts to pressure the regime in Tel Aviv to put a halt to the atrocities against Palestinians.
Yemen's armed forces will not hesitate to target all Israeli ships in the Red Sea or at any location within our reach. Yemen's armed forces will not stop launching attacks against Israelis until the regime's aggression on our Palestinian brothers ends.
The government in Sana'a believes these military moves could lead to a full-scale war with the U.S. and the Israeli regime. Despite that, Yemen leaders believe war has been permitted against those killing Muslims and forcing them out of their land.
Israel's economy is heavily dependent on imports and exports traded through Yemen's crucial Bab al-Mandab Strait. This comes as the Ansarullah movement has announced it will not allow any Israeli shipments to pass through this strait as long as the Tel Aviv regime continues its acts of aggression in occupied Palestine. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
As you enter the playground of most schools in Lebanon, it is not only the Lebanese flag which is seen waving. Most extracurricular activities and events include some mention of Gaza and Palestine. Students here have, in their own words, expressed their utter rejection of the continuous onslaught against innocent children.
What kind of sick and twisted maniac would do this to children? Like, if we look at the facts, we see that Israel has won multiple institutions for Gaza, like the hospitals, the schools, that foster like 4 to 5 innocent kids. So by standing with them, I believe that we stand for justice, we stand for freedom, we stand for compassion.
The television and news, mostly in America and Europe, they don't spot the light on these violations because they don't want to report a message to people that the Israeli army is actually destroying the life of some innocent kids, that there is no front line defending them. This is a big challenge that we are facing right now. We should help them mentally with any type of support that we have.
We look at the screens on the TVs and you feel you just want to cry for what's happening for them. And just something unbearable for this, incredible. We can't bear. We have to move. We have to do something for those people to save their lives. Otherwise, we are not human beings anymore.
During a school seminar, words and slogans, in addition to symbols of Palestinian resistance, are worn by the students and teachers alike.
The Palestinian kids are not only statistics of wars, they are human beings like us. They have the right to dream, the right to live, the right to have all their rights like other human beings.
I would like to express my opinion in my house, in the community, and everything, and also in supporting boys and girls in Gaza.
Shouts from protests in support of Gaza and denouncing the massacres in Palestine and Lebanon have been echoing across the capital, Beirut. People of all ages have taken part, but experts believe that this war has deeply touched the conscience of the younger generations because of the daily killing of infants, which the world has not stopped.
Today, when younger generations see the U.S.-Israeli massacre of children, they realize that the U.S. is the real enemy of all mankind. It is in the interest of all the people around the world to unite against the U.S., since it has violated all norms of humanity together with the Israeli regime.
Despite
despite their young age and the fact that they have not witnessed any wars, Lebanon's children and youth consider the war waged on Gaza as an act of terrorism. Their confusion lies in understanding why the so-called democracies of the world support the slaughter of innocent women and children. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian described the aim of the visit to the Swiss city of Geneva as pursuing the process of delivery of humanitarian aid to Palestinians in Gaza and the end of the Israeli siege of the coastal territory.
We are pursuing process of delivery of humanitarian assistance to people in Gaza. We will have meetings with UN officials and International Red Cross organization. Some of the meetings have been held, while others are on the agenda. Definitely, the humanitarian situation in Gaza is embarrassing.
Amir Abdullahian also censured the U.S. military support for Israel, saying Washington's claims of providing aid to Palestinians are just words without actions.
We have heard from the American foreign minister saying Washington seeks to send around 500 trucks of humanitarian aid to Gaza daily. But currently, between 25 to 40 trucks are only entering Gaza. One-third of this aid is water, lacking the essential food and medicine urgently needed by Palestinians.
The Iranian foreign minister made the remarks following talks with the UN Undersecretary for Human Rights Affairs, Martin Griffiths. During their meeting, Amir Abdullahian stated Hamas resistance movement's preparedness to release Israeli civilians in exchange for the end of the regime's onslaught against Palestinians. Griffiths, for his part, highlighted the importance of this topic and thanked Iran's efforts in preventing the war from spreading. Amir Abdullahian then held talks with Volker Turk, the United Nations High Commissioner for Human Rights. Following that, he met with Mirjana Espoljaric-Egger, president of the International Committee of Red Cross. The talks all revolved around ending the siege on Gaza and the opening of the Rafah border crossing.
For the last 40 days, Israeli warplanes and tanks have been pounding the Gaza Strip. Thousands of civilians, including women and children, have been killed in the Gaza Strip. For the last 40 days, the international community has failed to propose a solution to end the war. Now, many are wondering whether the United Nations and other human rights organizations can do anything more to protect Palestinians other than just issuing condemnations. Mahdi Apostian, Geneva.
At the invitation of Palestinian factions, hundreds of Syrians joined their brethren to rally in Khan Yunis refugee camp to condemn Israeli crimes against the Palestinian people, especially the besieged people of Gaza. The demonstrators stressed that the Western-backed aggression and blockade will not defeat Palestine and its people. They also pointed to the failure of the Israeli regime to produce any evidence backing up its claims about the presence of a Hamas command center under Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital.
The issue of Shifa Medical Complex has exposed Israel and the international community supporting it, including the United States of America. It has proven to the world that our hospitals are solely for patients and the wounded, and that the Zionist enemy only seeks to destroy them.
Two residents of the Khan Yunis refugee camp were martyred in Al-Aqsa flood operation. The people of the camp take pride in their martyrs. Participants affirm that the path of liberating Al-Quds and Al-Aqsa Mosque is difficult, but pledge to make all necessary sacrifices in the battle for the Palestinian cause.
It is a great honor to be in a family that has a martyr for the cause of liberating Al-Aqsa, which is also the first martyr from Khan Yunis camp. It is a very modest sacrifice for the sake of Palestine and the heroic people of Gaza.
We, the sons of the Islamic Jihad in Khan Yunis camp, assure our people in Palestine that we stand firmly with them and with the resistance. Our hand is on the trigger until the end and to the last breath.
Meanwhile, inside the Zainab city, a solidarity event was held in support of Palestine, where families of the Palestinian resistance martyrs were honored. In turn, families hailed martyrdom as the only path to victory. Participants expressed confidence in the victory of Gaza. emphasizing that the Palestinian cause will always thrive throughout generations.
As outrage grows in the region due to the escalation of Israeli crimes, Syrians and Palestinians reaffirm their support for Gaza in the face of the Israeli aggression and their determination to achieve victory, no matter how great the sacrifices are. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
The leader of Yemen's Ansarullah movement, Sayyid Abdel Malik al-Houthi, has delivered a much-anticipated televised speech in which he stressed that the Yemeni military will continue targeting Israel. After condemning some Arab and Islamic countries for not taking a meaningful stance against the Israeli regime, al-Houthi made it clear that Yemen is determined to take decisive military action that will eventually force the Zionist aggression to stop.
Our brothers in the armed forces have begun their work and carried out a number of operations with long-range missiles deep into the south of Israeli-occupied lands. We also used drones to target Israeli Zionist targets there. We will continue our bombardment and we will continue to march for Palestine. We are also planning for additional military operations against all Zionist targets in Palestine and outside of Palestine.
Al-Houthi declared that from now on, all Israeli ships passing through Yemeni territorial water will be targeted in the Red Sea, a move which would prove to be very costly, since trade through the Red Sea constitutes 90% of Israel's imported goods.
Our eyes are open for constant monitoring and searching for any Israeli ships. Everyone should know that the Israeli enemy relies on its movement in the Red Sea, especially in Bab al-Mandab, where they try to camouflage their ships by not raising Israeli flags on them. It's a smuggling mission because they even turn off the identification devices on board. Despite this, they will not succeed. We will search until we verify the ships that belong to the Israeli regime, and we will not hesitate to target them.
Yemen's continuous military strikes against Israel come after U.S. officials directed a warning to Yemen to not intervene in Israel's brutal war on Gaza. But according to al-Houthi, Yemen doesn't take its orders from America. Bab al-Mandab is a very narrow strait that separates Yemen from the Horn of Africa. This means any ship that passes through Bab al-Mandab will be within the target zone of Yemen's armed forces. And as Sayyid Abdel Malik al-Houthi has stated, all Israeli shipments will be targeted if they attempt to pass. Yusuf Maudi, Sana'a.
In Gaza, the situation is getting worse, no longer by the day, but by the hour. Incessant Israeli bombardments and its refusal to lift a crippling blockade on the enclave has led to a humanitarian disaster, as described by the ICRC. More than half of the hospitals in Gaza have closed down. The situation is described as intolerable by Iranians who have supported the Palestinian resistance from day one. On the streets of Tehran, people are calling this an unbearable human tragedy unfolding before their very eyes.
We have them in any way, shape, or form that we can. The entire world is watching silently, and even Western countries, and the U.S. in particular, are blatantly supporting the Zionists as they commit these atrocities. The Palestinians are our Muslim brothers and sisters, and we have to do everything we can do to help them.
The most barbaric scenes that one could imagine are coming out of Gaza. I couldn't sleep the night as I saw images of a hospital in Gaza where a young child pulled from under the rubble was all alone crying. He was probably the only one left from his family, just like many other kids there. How can the world do nothing? All countries should call for an immediate ceasefire.
I can't believe that in year 2023 we are witnessing such atrocities. It is completely unbelievable. No one is trying to stop the Zionists. Why? Just because Palestinians don't have blonde hair and blue eyes? Just because they are Muslims? They deserve to be treated this way. We saw how all these countries who are now supporting Israel were vocal when it was all about Ukraine.
Currently, over 9 million Iranians have signed up to go to Gaza to help Palestinians in their fight for freedom.
Does international law mean anything at all, or it is just for some countries to benefit from? History will judge them. Such atrocities are completely unprecedented. I never thought that I would be seeing such images. How can they call themselves humans? How can the rest of the world just sit and watch and do nothing? Everyone should demand an immediate ceasefire and humanitarian help for Palestinians. I would go to help them if I could.
When I see these images, I feel nauseous. All these young, innocent children. Why do they have to suffer? They haven't done anything wrong. They need humanitarian help immediately.
Children, hospitals, schools, according to international law, they should not be attacked. But we see now how they are bombarded every day. There should be an immediate ceasefire. Israelis have absolutely no shame. They call themselves human. Them and all those who support these atrocities. The U.S. The international community now knows the truth about them. Them and their so-called human rights.
Israel waged a war on Gaza on October 7th. At least 11,000 Palestinians have been killed in the strikes, most of them women and children, while 27,000 others have been injured. Tel Aviv has also imposed a complete siege on Gaza, cutting off fuel, electricity, food and water to more than 2 million Palestinians living there.
Iranians are appalled by the images coming out of the Gaza Strip showing the atrocities of the Zionist regime. They are also shocked that Western countries led by the United States are supporting the Israeli regime. Iranians are calling for an immediate ceasefire and immediate humanitarian help for the people in Gaza. Yusumi Shahmadi, Press TV, Tehran.
The first international congress in tribute to the father of Iran's missile program, Hassan Tehrani Muqaddam, was held in the Iranian capital, Tehran. The event also marked his 12th martyrdom anniversary. Senior military and state officials attended the ceremony to honor his lofty status and unique role in the missile program of the country.
Martyr Tehrani Muqaddam opened the chapter of self-reliance in the defense industry and put an end to the thoughts of unwilling people who said we don't have the strength to compete in any industry. He believed that we can and thus became the father of Iran's missile program.
Tehrani Muqaddam, a commander of the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, was a key figure in Iran's ballistic missile program. An engineer by profession, he designed the Shahab, Qadr and Sajil missiles with a range of over 1,000 kilometers. Tehrani Muqaddam began establishing Iran's missile program when the country was under attack during the eight-year Iraqi imposed war on Iran. He continued his efforts to boost the program in subsequent years amid difficulties and shortages.
Today, we're at the peak of military power, and we have prepared ourselves for all situations. Today, we're not only at the world level in the field of missiles, but also in drones, space, defense, radar, and other sectors. For such achievements, we have used the model of Shahid Tehrani Muqaddam.
Tehrani Muqaddam was martyred in an explosion in November 2011. The blast came during a missile test at a base in Bidgana, west of Tehran. At least 16 others were also killed in the blast. Observers say the West's efforts to stop Iran's missile program over the past couple of years reveals the significance of Tehrani Muqaddam's legacy, which serves as Iran's main power of deterrence. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
In the limelight.
The Israeli military have ordered doctors, patients and displaced people at Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital to evacuate the medical compound, forcing some people to leave at gunpoint. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Israeli military have ordered doctors, patients and displaced people at Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital to evacuate the medical compound, forcing some people to leave at gunpoint. The forced evacuation order has caused panic and mayhem. The World Health Organization has issued its own assessment of the situation in the Gaza Strip's Al-Shifa Hospital, describing it as a death zone and the situation as desperate. The United Nations Health Organization released its report early on Sunday, 19th of November, just a day after a short and very high-risk mission into the hospital on Saturday, 18th of November. The Israeli regime has turned Gaza's hospitals into a specific target of its ongoing war of genocide, alleging that those facilities house Palestinian resistance fighters and their equipment. On Saturday, Mai Al-Kaila, the Palestinian health minister in the occupied West Bank, strongly condemned Israel for committing genocide against the healthcare system in the Gaza Strip. The Al-Shifa Hospital, Gaza's biggest hospital, has taken the brunt of the Israeli assaults on the territory's healthcare system, with the Zionist regime claiming that it houses a command center belonging to the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas. The situation has forced scores of sick and injured, some of them amputees, to flee the hospital towards the seafront without ambulances, along with displaced people, doctors and nurses, according to the World Health Organization. The WHO added that only 291 patients, including 32 babies in extremely critical condition and 25 healthcare workers, have remained inside the Al-Shifa complex. Signs of shelling and gunfire were evident. The World Health Organization team saw a mass grave at the entrance of the hospital and were told more than 80 people were buried there. The World Health Organization said in a statement, "A lack of clean water, fuel, medicines, food and other essential aid has caused the hospital to basically stop functioning as a medical facility. Corridors and the hospital grounds were filled with medical and solid waste, increasing the risk of infection," according to the World Health Organization. Also on Sunday, World Health Organization's chief, Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, wrote on X social media platform that the world body was working with partners to develop an urgent evacuation plan and asked for full facilitation of this plan. "We continue to call for protection of health and of civilians," he said, lamenting that the current situation is unbearable and unjustifiable. Meanwhile, Iran says it does not want further spread of Israel's genocidal war in Gaza, but the approach taken by the United States and the Israeli regime in the region makes the expansion of war quite possible. The Iranian Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian made the remark in an interview with the Financial Times. Iran's top diplomat noted that during the early weeks and days of the war, American officials sent messages to Iran through certain diplomatic channels claiming that Washington was not after expansion of the scope of the war. Over the past 40 days, messages have been exchanged between Iran and the United States via the U.S. interest section at the Swiss embassy in Tehran, Hossein Amir Abdullahian emphasized. Amir Abdullahian added, "In response to the United States, we said that Iran does not want the war to spread any further. But due to the approach of the United States and the Israeli regime in the region, if the Israeli war crimes continue, then it is possible that the conflict would spread further." Amir Abdullahian added, "The United States has sent similar messages to Lebanon's Hezbollah movement, as well asking the movement to show self-restraint." The Iranian foreign minister said despite those messages, the United States has offered its full support to Israel and supplied the regime with all kinds of military equipment and weapons. He emphasized that Washington's unbridled support for the Tel Aviv regime proves that the United States is not committed to its claim of being against the further spread of the Gaza war. Washington, which has been trying to justify the Tel Aviv regime's ferocious attacks on Gaza as a means of self-defense, has been also casting its veto against the United Nations Security Council resolutions that call on the Israeli regime to cease its aggression. The Al Jazeera television network has also covered the same story. The Israeli military ordered doctors, patients and displaced people at Gaza's Al-Shifa hospital to evacuate the medical compound, forcing some to leave at gunpoint, according to Palestinian officials who talked to Al Jazeera. Doctors said the facility, which has been under siege by Israeli troops for several days, was now largely deserted hours after soldiers ordered people to leave the hospital on Saturday, 18th of November. But in a post on X, formerly known as Twitter, the Israeli army denied giving any order, saying the Israeli military responded to the request of the director of Al-Shifa Hospital to allow Gazan citizens who were sheltering in the hospital